You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Ivan hasn't arrived yet, but we've got the sports
editor
and the guru in. This is Max, who I just told Max that before he arrived, I mentioned about starting the hybrid car up at Mr. and Mr. Joyce's airline up in Maroochydore, and also the pool works man. But he wasn't there for the pool works man. But Don
said... So
that
went for half an hour, did it, that explanation, just like on the podcast?
Don said... Don
you would be
said,
surprised.
Max, Don said, well, why didn't you get Max to drive the car? I said, Max had no idea how to start the car. Oh, did you?
No, I had every idea
you
how to start
not.
The car. You couldn't hear the engine because all the old cars that you drive, as
no,
soon
no,
as you
I've,
put
I've
it in...
I've said that, Max, yeah. I said that. When you said, put your foot on the brake, I said, yeah. I've nearly pushed it through the bloody firewall.
I said, put your foot on the brake and put it into drive,
you
and
didn't.
Then you didn't take your foot
oh,
off
boys,
the brake.
Come on, sport, Maxie. Right.
Sport. What would you like to know about sport, Don?
Well, I've got a few points down here that I'm going to make a prediction.
Okay.
That Mason Cox, if they let him go on the ball a little bit more at Collingwood, and I said this a few weeks ago, he'll be the number one ruckman in the league. He reminds me, Max, of a fellow called Graham Fellows who played for Collingwood in the 1950s. Mason Cox has the same body
50s.
Shape. 1950s. Graham Fellows was unique. He was so
I
tall.
I played against Graham Fellows.
You wouldn't. Where's Fellows, probably?
Oh, where? No, what? Go on. Anyhow,
just
go
see
on.
When
go
Graham Fellows... He wouldn't have... No,
go on,
wouldn't.
Then.
Anyway, he reminds me of... who did I say?
Mason
Graham
Cox.
Fellows.
Oh, sorry.
Graham Fellows, who also played for Collingwood. He was a very tall man, had the same shape, tall and slender. I think they're called either endomorph, mesomorph or metamorph or something, body shape. But he is really very impressive. What he's picked up in the football, I think they were going to clear him at one stage and he
well,
found it very difficult to get a game. But now he's going so well that's why I think they could look at maybe moving Grundy on and saving a little bit of money.
Well, I'm very surprised you brought that up. That's a very left-wing topic considering what's been happening in sport, but I agree he's had a very I don't agree to the extent of what you're saying, but he has had an incredibly good year considering that at the start of the year, you're right, he was just about almost done. Collingwood were looking to get rid of him on the off season, but he's bounced back well and he's one of those two.
So what would you
ruckman.
Bring up at the Essendon saga, would you?
I'd bring up
just,
Essendon
just
I'd bring up
before we get
Alistair
off
Clarkson.
Graham Fellows, Don, yeah. you are we are both correct. He finished in 1964, which was
really?
which is the first year I played, so I remember playing on him, but he is in the 50s predominantly, Don.
58 grand final, I think.
He played, it says he played games. He played...
he played games, that's very good.
I'm
that's
trying
helpful.
To tell you how many games he played. Fuck. Oh, I don't know.
His son Wes followed.
Yeah, Wes Fellows followed, yes. He played, I don't know, I can't tell you how many games he played.
I remember him doing a drop kick at the MCG in a final game.
So
he was
on,
and he could mark around the ground too.
So go on, you got onto Essendon, Max. I said to Don, I was a captive audience because you and Jack are besotted with anything that, if any football game, whether it's good or bad, and I had to sit and watch it because I was a captive audience. And Essendon, seriously. This is why people don't go to the football. That was schoolboy stuff, that nonsense that they played. And it's easy to knock them when they're down. And I noticed I don't know which president, if who's the current president or the new president or the old one, said that the coach, incidentally, there's a very good headline in the paper today about in the Herald Sun, because didn't you think this was clever, Don? It said... the curious case of Benjamin Rutten.
Ah, that's very good.
Because there's a film out called The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. That's clever.
We've lost
Don.
Keep
going.
Oh, no, we
have. So the former president or the current president said, Ben, the coach is absolutely safe. and then it had a dash, for now.
That's the current president, who's the new one, for Dave, now. Dave what, Barham.
What would you say? What would you say?
Well, he's got a contract, number one.
Well, why would you say safe for now? That means that's a non-statement.
Contract means nothing in the AFL anymore.
Okay, well, they've got to pay him out. That's fine. And they've got to pay him out. So that's fine. But what comes out, to me, I look a little bit deeper into this.
Good on
they've
you.
Got a, they've got a chief executive there called Xavier...
Campbell.
Campbell.
Very good, now, man.
Oh, very good, is he, Maxie?
Yes.
Okay, well, I think they're setting a very dangerous precedent. He's gone through at least three presidents, and I would say in his time there, he's probably appointed 10 to 12 top executives who have either left or resigned. Wouldn't you say that the chief executive is in charge of the football club? What influence does the president have on the performance of the team? The appointments are done within the club, and I would be looking very seriously at the CEO. And the other precedent, what they're setting is, he is the only constant...
Common denominator?
No, he's the only constant.
Yes, constant.
At the club. And what they will do by these people going in and out, they will start to rely more heavily upon him. He will have power... And he could be the power and the problem behind Essendon.
So what I understand about Xavier Campbell as a CEO and as a person and as a businessman is that he's incredibly good at what he does, and what that is
What's
is
that?
Financial investments and all that sort of stuff. Essendon,
he's a marketing man. He Essendon, came from the marketing
just
department.
Hang on a second. Essendon is one of the very few clubs that's actually not in a deficit in terms of a business standpoint.
And do you know where that started, what Max? He does. Do you know where that started?
Where did that
Essendon
start?
Essendon were a very, very, very... You just about touched it. Essendon were a very well-administered club through my time, the 60s and the 70s. They didn't have the success, but they were exceptionally well-managed.
Yep.
They were very, very financial, and that base was established back then.
You know what they've never and recovered from, don't you?
Yes, the drug saga.
Stuff they had to put up with the drug scandal, aided and abetted by a corrupt and dishonest press who rounded them up for
reason. Listen, let's just move on from that.
Well, that's what they haven't moved on. That's
okay, well, Carlton were also in breach of the salary cap. It took them years, and they're only just starting to get their act together now. So they were penalised too, harshly.
What's the man Jess's name? He had two sets of books there.
Jess, where?
Now, what's the bloke who was in charge of Carlton?
No, they breached the salary cap.
The AFL
investigated.
He had two sets of books.
Ian Collins?
No, mate, he got charged with it. I can't think of his name.
But you're not suggesting that Carlton and Essendon were on the same form of low level,
No, well, what I'm saying is
you?
That there are setbacks. Let's get over the setbacks. Well, let's just
I'm
get
just
over the setbacks and move on.
It.
Other clubs have had them. I just gave you an example of Carlton breaching the salary cap, and they're only just starting to get their act together again.
You cannot compare what Essendon went through to just about any other club. That is a unique set of circumstances on its
Carlton own. Carlton did not or could not recruit for a couple of years.
I'm half with you, Don, but that stuff that Essendon went through was debilitating to the club, the fans, the players. That was a disgrace. That was handled by I'm not sure if our friend handled it.
No, he didn't.
Well,
Demetrio was the man in charge.
Whatever. It was a disgrace. And the press. I'd love to name the press.
Okay, but I think there's more. You're getting onto that drug saga, which is getting off what we saw. To sum it all up, I'd like to get Bruce Reid's tapes on the drug saga. He was the doctor at the time, and he's done a tape. Unfortunately, Bruce has passed on, and they're in safekeeping.
His son's in possession of them.
So what would the... I'd tell you what the tape would say. This is my take on it. He would say...
Well, you don't know what the tape
would say. Put a disclaimer on it just in case Essendon come after us.
I'm saying this would be my take on it. He would say that he wasn't in favour of the drugs.
Well, we don't know what he'd say, so don't surmise.
I am surmising, Don. That's what we do here. I am surmising that he would say he wasn't in favour of the drugs program, the supplement program, and he said to them he didn't think it was ethical and all that, and he warned them about there might be ramifications. And on the other side of it, he said, but he was a bit out of the loop and it was new technology. And on the other side of it, James Heard said that he was assured that there was nothing illegal, there was nothing, and yeah, he took that on face value.
The other thing that surprised me about Essendon too, Kevin Sheedy's on the board. He's also an employee.
Is he?
Isn't he compromised?
Well, everyone's compromised.
No, hang on. But he's on the board and he's a paid employee.
Is he paid?
Well, I thought he was. He was in marketing or as an ambassador or whatever.
I think he's an ambassador, but yeah, I think he's
so Don,
in the same capacity as probably what you'd expect.
So I haven't watched...
I just think if he is getting paid, and I thought that's why he went back to the club in a paid capacity, I think he's compromised being on the board.
I think he went back to the club to give... fans and everything, some sort of stability.
Well, no, as a PR exercise.
Yes. Yeah,
that's what I was going for.
That's correct.
And the other fellow, and I feel a bit for Rutten because obviously it's leaked out about their interest in Clarkson, and Clarkson will be sitting back now playing one against the other if it's true that Essendon are interested in getting Clarkson as a coach. So all Clarkson is doing is waiting for the bids to come in.
Well, I can give you the... If you want to talk, go on.
No, I was just going to... No, if you keep going on Essendon, I was going to mention the Carlton... Who was it?
Hang on. But wait, after this. So hang on, I'll give you a quick update on Alistair Clarkson. So there were three clubs initially in the race for him. That's Greater Western Sydney, GWS, North Melbourne... And Essendon. So here's the update. GWS have dropped out. They're most probably going to sign Adam Uze, an assistant coach at Melbourne. Very good player, very good coach. North Melbourne have today, this morning.
We don't know.
No, you don't know that.
Don't know.
Max.
I'm supposed to.
He's a good man.
I'm very. Oh, I don't know. Oh, yeah,
okay. You're right, as good as a
regardless. Your statements, please, Max.
Shut,
go on.
Shut up, cock. North Melbourne have this morning given Alistair Clarkson 24 hours to decide whether or not he wants to come to that club or not.
In other words, he's, excuse the expression, but he's fucking them around. If they've given
North, I think North are just sweating on the fact that...
No.
He's playing the odds, Don.
That's right. And that's what he's doing, upping his ante. And if they've given him... And I'm glad they've called him out and said, righto, make your mind up.
That's fair enough. And probably the least bit of reported news or...
They called his bluff, Don.
That's right. He played Hawthorn on a break.
The poker over the weekend. And, yeah, apparently Clarkson has come out and said that he favours Essendon to go to, which I wouldn't believe in the slightest with what's going around in the press nowadays. So that's the current on Alistair Clarkson.
Well, they're two great clubs to put your name to because the only way you can go is up.
North's not a great club.
And Essendon, I'm just saying, the only North's have to win a handful of games and you become a star. Now, Don.
Hang on, while we're on football.
Well,
let's go
football.
Back to a point of what
I'm on football. Yeah, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, did you see who'd they play? Richmond and
no, Carlton and Melbourne.
Carlton and Melbourne. Don, you would have. Did you watch that game?
I only saw the last kick of the game. Got the kick and screwed around his body.
Fantastic, Pickett. Fantastic.
Only watched the halftime,
mate. I watched because Jack is an avid Carlton fan.
So, what's your point?
My point is, how did that side, who was trying to get into the finals, how did they possibly lose that game? I'll tell you how they lost it. None of the commentators said this. In the dying stages of the game, one of the Carlton players on the half-back line fumbled the ball because he looked up at someone running at him.
Good on you, Johnny.
Jack Nunes.
I didn't know.
Good on you, Johnny.
So he fumbled the ball because he looked up and... Another big bloke, when the ball went down, dropped the mark. A simple mark because he shit himself.
Well done.
Now, Don.
Why don't people... That gives me the shits and that's why I turn the fucking volume
well,
down.
Well, no one mentioned
commentary.
That.
Beer, because they will not call them out well, and say that.
Well, so don't.
Well, you can see it on TV. They shit themselves. If you've played the game, you know the bloke in that situation.
Right, you're shouting, Don, please.
Well, I'm getting upset because it really irritates me. The commentators are not doing their job properly.
And if they couldn't have saved that game with a minute and a half to go by chipping it, and I hate chipping around and all that. Seriously, and if Michael Voss didn't take those people aside, those two people, the bloke who fumbled and the big bloke who dropped the mark.
Did you hear the commentary after the game? Voss stormed off the ground and they said, oh, he realised what he did in this woke society. He went back and cajoled, you know, with the players and whatever else. He was wild and he was storming off the ground and he was well within his rights to let them have it.
Who haven't watched football for 3 years, that was so obvious that that game was lost by those two mistakes, and the fact that they had didn't have the nous to kick the ball away from anyone in a Melbourne jumper for 90 seconds. It was extraordinary how they lost the game. Yeah. And good on Pickett, what a star for doing that, but shit, fair dinkum. And that probably they won't play in the finals as a result.
The other thing that shits me about football is clubs, excuse me, when they start getting involved and getting the law. Now, last week, Cripps got out on a point of law. There were two lawyers. They're both ex-Hawthorn players. One is Richard Loveridge, a lawyer, and the other is Stephen Durick, who played at Richmond and Hawthorn. They presided over the case. It was a point of law that got Cripps off. But why would Carlton... The decision was handed down. Now, the other thing which is interesting in that case...
Why would Carlton what?
Wanted
him out. They appealed.
Who wanted him out?
He's paraphrasing here. They wanted to get Cripps off his charges of a two-match ban.
Why wouldn't you?
He just hasn't worded
that right.
Yeah, but
they've used the point... Well, good on him. It was a point of law.
You would exploit every opportunity. No. But how weak is the judiciary?
How you can bring law in... This is the thing where... It's got to be... And the other thing is, too, about that charge on Cripps, the fellow that he hit...
Calamachi.
Well, has got no awareness, as a lot of other footballers nowadays have not got awareness of what's going on around them. They have not been educated and they have not played football in the right way. This is a dangerous game. He should have turned his back a little more and he would have received that in the back. That's happened in the old... In days gone by, Max, you turned your back. You knew what was coming. The sin knew that he was coming through.
In days gone by, that would be correct. But in today's day...
Yeah, but they've got no awareness, John.
Because they know that no one's going to hit them illegally or hit them hard like that because they're not allowed to. But
And that's what's wrong. And this other point that he got off last night, Cordy... Got off. He ran past the bloody ball and the man.
A shepherd.
Bullshit. That wasn't a shepherd. That was a cheap shot at a bloke chasing. Chasing somebody.
Well,
head down, chasing. Chasing.
Can't you do within
Why wouldn't
meters?
He put his hands out and shepherd? Max.
Get my name right. You walk by the skin. The people are bigger, it's not their fault that they're going up against littler blokes.
What are you talking about?
Zane Cordy and Cripps, just because they have 20 or 30 kilos on the other inflicted.
It's a big man's job. Now, listen, I'll give you a little... Okay,
it's a block. It's a shepherd. It's within the rules.
In football, there are two types. There's a small man and the big man. When the small man runs around the big man, bouncing the ball and showing his skill and whatever else, making a fool, the crowd all clap. And you know what the big man... The crowd crap because...
The crowd clap, not the cloud. The cloud crap, you said. Yeah, that's a spoonerism. That's a spoonerism, Don. I've never heard anything more reliable.
But then when the big man uses his asset, which is his strength and his weight and his height, to advantage and he takes someone out, they boo. So you got two aspects of football there. Well, and that's a big man's job, to take out a little man if he gets the opportunity.
And then when he does, the the cloud craps really loudly. Now, Don.
Well, that's what Cordy did, and he took a cheap shot at
somebody. It's not a cheap shot, it's a shepherd.
It was a cheap, and it's the AFL shepherd. Shit themselves because of what happened the week before with Cripps.
No, well it's a done shepherd. With the Carlton people for going to the law, using every avenue to get their man off. How they got their man off, and this is what happens when the chips are down and when... When the chips are down.
The chips get going?
What?
What the shut up?
When the chips
aren't you confusing, isn't it? When the going gets tough, the tough gets going.
Dan, just shut up now, just for a second.
The chips mean the poker chips are down, Don, you bet.
Not the Smith's chips.
This is not a mixed metaphor like the cloud crapping. Don.
Hey, my grand, I should Don, bring this up in the wind.
That's a spoonerism. That's like saying I've never heard anything more relifulous and all my dick. Now, Don.
My dick.
More relifulous. Don. So, don't you think, Don, it's a hometown decision. They wanted Cripps to play to give Carlton a chance of playing in the finals, so they didn't suspend him for a week. They thought, we'll keep our players... We'll just won't suspend him for a week for a start.
I don't think he should have got reported. Anyways, let's keep
Well, hang on. You're saying Cripps shouldn't have gotten reported?
No.
Oh, well, we're saying that the same thing, Don.
What?
We're saying the same thing. I don't think Cripps should have gotten reported either.
I said Cordy should have been rubbed out.
Now, Don.
It's a shepherd, though.
It wasn't boys, a shepherd. It was a cheap shot.
Now, quickly before we have the doctor from Sydney on the line, I wanted to mention just two things. This is sport.
I want to know about the, talking about sport, the Colac Sports Night that's coming up this weekend.
Don.
How are the tickets going?
Don.
Here we go.
Don,
how are the tickets
just
going?
I about to mention two more important things than the Colac Sports Night.
Are you on with anybody else?
Two Australian women.
Oh, is he doing something?
He's doing the Sportsman's Night at Colac. The tickets are sold out.
Two Australian women.
Well, I've been told from a Colac resident and businessman the tickets are sold out. Do you think the podcast is keeping you relevant?
Two Australian...
Excuse me, do you think the podcast is keeping you relevant?
Yeah, sure, Don. Two Australian women who did very well in Monaco. I call it Monaco. I don't know why people call it Monaco. It's Monaco. A pole vaulter called Nina Kennedy.
Where's the athletic field at Monaco?
In the casino.
Well, they have the Diamond...
Or on the beach.
They have the Diamond League athletics. It's a world-class stadium.
Where?
In Monaco.
I
was watching it on the television, Don.
I thought it was just a cliff coming down and the houses wherever.
That's where they have the Grand Prix.
Yeah.
That's right. That's all I thought Monaco was those hills.
So do you think Melbourne's just Albert Park Lake?
Despite what you think about Monaco, Don, Nina Kennedy is a pole vaulter, extremely good looking person, which has got nothing to do.
The Australian girl.
Oh, my godfather. Said? That's why I'm mentioning it. Two Australian women.
She was very good at the Commonwealth Games. As well. Did you see the Commonwealth Games?
I'm going to get this finished, Don. Two Australian women did very well at the Monaco Diamond League Athletics. Nina Kennedy, who's an extraordinarily good athlete, and a woman javelin thrower called... Oh, go on. You're going
very
to interrupt
good.
That.
In a clutch moment, that girl comes to the fore. She won it on the last throw.
Kelly Lee Barker.
Very good.
Oh, well, I
she's
wrote it down, Don. That's
she's
why it's
a
very
pressure
good.
Athlete.
So two that thing Australian there? That's women doing great. And the woman high jumper.
They did well in the Commonwealth Games.
And the woman high jumper.
Which one?
Not the one that
from
married...
From Lee and Gaffer.
No, not the one that married someone you can't pronounce a name now. The other one who just sprang out of the ether and won the medal. Fantastic. The women are fantastic.
Did you write a name down?
Because the high jump wasn't on in Monaco. They didn't televise it.
Well, what are you talking about?
I was talking about the two people
I was
watching.
Well, how did you know about the high jumper?
Because she won the medal at the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I know.
You told me you didn't watch it.
I watched Don. We're gonna wind this up now. So we've had a little bit of football, a little bit of women's athletics. They're fantastic, the women, fantastic.
And the Colac Sports Night.
No,
what time's the start and where is it?
What?
Hey, Max. Also, this time of year, mate. Your father mightn't have smelled it much, but the smell of grass this time of year, if you're playing in the finals...
Don, I'm pretty sure he smells grass quite regularly now.
No, it's a different smell, this grass.